What's up, sunshine? Rise up. I am so happy and grateful to be back with you. Your boy was hurting. I spent a couple of nights in the hospital. I got bronchitis, and nobody has time for that. I'm feeling much better now. Thank you for all the well wishes you sent on social media. You are all the reason why CNN 10 is the best 10 minutes in news. We start today with a storm that could bring some wicked weather to parts of the southeast United States this week. Tropical Depression 9 formed over the weekend in the Caribbean and, as of this taping, is expected to strengthen into Tropical Storm Imelda. The storm could bring heavy rain to parts of the coastal U.S. about a year after Hurricane Helene tore through the same region. Helene left a trail of destruction across Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas. The biggest impact was felt in the mountains of western North Carolina. Our Isabel Rosales was on the ground in Asheville during the devastation. Now, 1 year later, she returned to see how the community is recovering.
It's not often you get to see the remnants of a storm like this a year later.
Yeah, so this is one of the houses that you can still walk inside, and it's really frozen in time.
Among the damp wood and abandoned belongings, a visceral reminder of what Helene took in minutes. These walls mark the survival of a family, but the loss of a place they once called their little Eden.
The water was pouring in and going higher and higher, and so they feared for their lives that they might drown. And so he grabbed a flashlight and a putty knife, and he started hacking through the ceiling right here.
Recovery is far from over in hard-hit Swannanoa, just outside Asheville, with many families still struggling in mountain country.
A year later, what is the need here in this community?
The need is vast. You know, we still have people that are in temporary shelter, and many people lost their jobs. Businesses were gone. They kind of went through.
Amy Cantrell and Pancho Bermejo tell me there's a full-blown housing crisis with tens of thousands of people still displaced. Beloved Asheville is among the nonprofits racing to close that gap, building 120 homes and counting. Just a few feet from where the Mills family home drifted.
They said it felt like they were inside a boat.
Off its foundation.
You know, they're just floating inside their house.
Rests their new Eden, built above the waterline of Helene.
And we are in a deep connection now in these Appalachian mountains, and we are stronger than ever.
We got some pretty serious.
From the heart of Biltmore Village in Asheville.
How do we fix this?
Joe Scully
was the wall
has been documenting the tireless comeback story of Corner Kitchen. 10 months, more than 300 days through the seasons. Until this moment.
Open after 10 months closed.
The hometown restaurant, now a welcome home back.
And then when we actually started to get like people in, it was actually a little scary.
Yeah, you got the jitters?
A little.
This fall, the stakes are higher than ever as visitors pour into high country to take in the changing foliage. In western North Carolina, the next few months could make or break a small business.
It's a possible reality that people will not be able to make it if they don't have the guests and the tourists to come for this next 3 month period.
A Chamber of Commerce survey of mostly small businesses found 90% of respondents project a revenue loss, and nearly 45% report a moderate to significant risk of closure.
And this could be 2 chicken salads all day.
The Corner Kitchen, back from the brink and buzzing with sound. And this stark reminder of just how high the floodwaters climbed.
Why rebuild in a place that's flooded before?
It's too precious to try.
Now to a fantastic feat of engineering in China that's reaching new heights, literally. The world's tallest bridge, now officially open, in the mountainous province of Guizhou, packing some serious stats. The Huajiang Grand Canyon Bridge towers at 2,050 feet above the river below. It's nearly 4 times higher than the Washington Monument, 9 times taller than the clearance of the massive Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. At nearly 9,500 feet long, with a main span of more than 4,600 feet, it is the longest steel truss suspension bridge in a mountainous region. Officials say the bridge will cut travel time across the Huajiang Canyon from more than 2 hours to just 2 minutes. Construction took more than 3 years and resulted in 21 new patents, some of which have even been incorporated into China's national bridge building standards. Pop quiz, hot shot. In addition to flying airplanes, Amelia Earhart also worked as a social worker, lawyer, music teacher, or dentist. If you said social worker, you're in first class, baby. In the 1920s, Amelia Earhart took a job at a settlement house in Boston, which aimed to provide education and job training to immigrant families, women, and children living in poor neighborhoods. Amelia Earhart was the first female pilot to fly solo over the Atlantic Ocean, but in 1937, when she was attempting to become the first woman to fly around the world, her plane suddenly went missing over the Pacific Ocean, and the disappearance has remained a mystery ever since. But now, there are some new developments that might bring new insight as to what may have happened. President Donald Trump is ordering his administration to declassify and release all government records related to Earhart's disappearance nearly 90 years ago. She was declared lost at sea following a 16-day search, and her plane was never found. There have been many questions and theories regarding the aviation pioneer's disappearance, but the U.S. government has long suspected that Earhart and her navigator crashed into the Pacific when the plane ran out of fuel. Just last year, sonar imagery turned up what some hoped was the long-lost plane near a remote island halfway between Hawaii and Australia, but it turned out to be a rock formation. A new expedition to locate the plane is slated to launch in November. Now to an innovative creation that could be the answer to combating the rises in costs for things like our residential electricity, natural gas, heating and cooling our homes, and more. Georgia Tech, or Georgia Institute of Technology, in Atlanta, has built the first ever living building in the Southeast U.S. This piece of architecture gets its energy from the sun, water from the sky or ground. It even has corn and tomatoes growing on top of it. Our Derek Van Dam takes us there.
Imagine the future of American cities where buildings give back to the environment more than it takes. Tucked within the urban landscape of Atlanta's Georgia Tech campus is proof of how construction can live in harmony with its surroundings.
It's a living building.
Sean Arora is the director of the Candida Building and is advocating for its unique design to act as a catalyst for change in the building industry.
Over the course of a year, the building produces 100% of its electricity needs plus another 100%. So it's 200% net positive energy, and the excess electricity goes to our sister buildings on campus. And you see the sun just came out? More free electricity!
From its zero carbon construction to its rooftop solar array, this building goes far beyond sustainability. It's left no stone unturned.
The Candida Building on Georgia Tech's campus is updating the three R's that you might be familiar with from your childhood. Reduce, reuse, recycle to regenerative, resilient, restorative.
Features like its rooftop garden combines these three new R's with an aesthetic appeal that anyone can enjoy.
I don't know where else you see corn growing.
You got corn here.
We got corn. Beautiful tomatoes. I mean, come check this out.
Amazing. All in this rooftop garden.
The building's water collection system is not connected to the city sewer, providing resilience against Atlanta's aging wastewater infrastructure.
You take a shower in the building, wash your hands. Yeah. It goes here. Well, it's a pollinator garden. Native Georgia bees having lunch.
Sean says that we're not far off as a society to make these features a reality in every building.
Is the price of electricity going to go up? Yeah. Is the price of water going to go up? Yeah. Sewage? Yeah. If you're going to own a building for 100 years, why wouldn't you make the building resilient?
Today's story, getting a Jew out of Jew, the fastest human ever recorded on all fours. Ryosei Yone, look at him go. The 22-year-old from Yonago, Japan, broke the Guinness World Record for fastest 100-meter quadrupedal run by a human with a blistering time of 14.55 seconds. And he did it in his hometown. Yone-san trusted his animal instincts, broke the previous record set by American Colin McClure in 2022 by more than a full second. He said his interest in this unorthodox feat began in middle school after a teacher mentioned that animals run faster that way. So he trained for this for years, studying the movements of dogs, cats, even monkeys to perfect his technique. Awesome stuff. Also awesome, you. My first shout out of the day goes to Mr. Snow and friends at Lebanon Middle School in Lebanon, Indiana, go Tigers. And from our CNN 10 Instagram followers, Mrs. Ryan, St. George Episcopal School in San Antonio, Texas, thank you for making us part of your day. Remember to like and subscribe our CNN 10 YouTube channel for your shout out requests. Make it a monumental Monday, my peeps. I will see you right back here tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire and we are CNN 10.